Boys.
There he is. What's up?
What a professional background.
I'm a TV guy now, dude.
He's a big time media member now.
Oh, he's just background. Just throwing it down right on us with that microphone. The sound it sounds good. Look, dude, I got my Sasha Kleshin mustache going.
I wanted to see if Sasha, you know, what he thought about that, and if yours is a little bit better than his right now, because he's going a little chin hair too.
Who, me or him? He looks good, bro.
No, yeah, you are.
This is how I always look. This is a.
That's
standard. I like that though, Gordo.
You're way ahead of your time with the mustache. And by the for the record, and I've not been mistaken for anybody else more than you in my entire lifetime. This guy came up to me. I told you the story, but this guy came up to me at the golf course. He was like, "Dude, I'm a huge fan." I was like, and I was when I was playing in LA, so it was like, I wasn't thrown off. He was like, "Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'll get you." You know, autograph or whatever, and he comes over. He's like, "Sasha, thanks." I was like, "Oh, I'm like, I'm not Sasha, dude. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm, you know, thanks so much. Go F yourself."
Oh, that's unreal, dude.
So Sasha, is the stash? Is it something you're keeping for the rest of your media career, or what are we doing here?
I think it's become like
life, right?
Yeah,
like, this is not a short term decision for you.
This has been over 10 years now. And I like, this is the whole reason I have a job on TV is because people want to punch my mustache, bro.
Hey, it's getting a little, dude, it's getting a little salt and pepper in there.
I know. It's very salt and pepper, bro. It's sad.
I actually think it looks great, Sasha.
I think it looks great too.
It looks like it's coming in a little bit quicker than maybe in your playing days. You got any tips for longevity for Gordo? Cause Gordo's on a good run right now, but nowhere near the leader in clubhouse minutes. Seriously,
I don't know. Are your kids used to it, dude? I shaved once last season, and my kids were like, "What the fuck did you do?" Don't ever do that again. They had never seen me without it. So
I mean, my nose is gonna look 10 times bigger if I shave this mustache. And it's just kind of working. I like it. How old are you now, dude?
I'm 38.
38. You could still be playing, dude.
Played in the Open Cup.
I was gonna say we'll get into that a little bit later in the Open Cup. But wow, what a fun story that is, Sash. We appreciate you joining the boys. I gotta say, I missed our last episode with Omar, and so I listened to it, and it is quite the it pulls up the heartstrings a lot. It's very emotional. So sorry you have to follow that one up. This one.
I just saw the clip on Instagram, and then I texted Omar right after, like, dude, I didn't know you were going through that stuff, man. Like, he's always been like such a happy go lucky dude. Like, everything's great.
Dude, it's really, really, really powerful episode. Really powerful episode. So sorry you got to follow that one up. We're going to probably have it a little bit more lighthearted on this one. Unless you have anything you want to share, please feel free. The Journeyman, we are always open for a little getting anything and everything off your chest. But we appreciate you coming on, man. I'll throw it to our trusty host, Dan, to get us going.
Okay.
Breaking news from Sasha Kleshin. He's going to shave his mustache next week. Which would excite some followers. Sash, obviously your career speaks for itself. I'll date you. I dated Omar a little bit in his time, but you and I had some Big East battles back in the Seton Hall days. We were talking about just kind of American icons in the sport, and you and your career have been fun to be next to, fun to, you know, watch as it evolved and took you overseas to Anderlecht. Obviously you had some championships over there. You've been a great steward for Major League Soccer and the American player. And now you're leading the charge as one of actually the only club that's represented on Apple television in the New York Red Bulls. But you and your boy BWP are front and center for television and taking another step in the evolution of your career. How has that transition been for you?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. And thanks for the great intro. You guys know how to make a guy feel good. So that was fun. And yes, I got to say from the get-go, Dan, hated playing against you. You were always such a competitor. and just a tough guy to go against. So yeah, we had some battles.
About all you can say about him, right?
Yeah, just a true competitor. Huh? We call him the very poor man's Danny Carvajal.
Listen, it's better than being soft and coming in the 89th minute and only contributing 4 minutes like my other boy Gordo here. So I'll take a full game.
I thought you could have been talking about me this year as well.
Hey, welcome to
your reputation is evolving, Dax. I think it was really strong, and it's just slowly sliding downhill.
It happens, huh, Sash? It even happens to Sash, dude.
That was me, dude. That was my last year of playing too. I only started one game in my last season, and
brutal.
Tried to make the most of being the super sub, dude. That's where Dax is unfortunately at right now.
That's where we're at, baby.
It happens to us all.
I just want to get thrown in up top one of these days. Just throw me in up top and let me cause havoc up there.
You'll get there.
With all the injuries at striker right now, all you got to do is tackle Danny Rios in training this week and you might be up there, dude. But to go back to your question, Dan, it's been an awesome transition. I think I got very lucky that I ended my career when I did at the same time that the Apple deal came into existence with Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And that they really wanted me to take this job. And so I know a lot of players end their careers without knowing exactly what they're going to do next or where they're going to go. And it is a tough transition for a lot of players. I spoke to a lot of ex-teammates about that transition. I saw some of my friends go through tough times when they finished their career. So I consider myself very fortunate that I made a good enough name for myself as a player and started to be comfortable being in front of a camera before my time playing was done. Mm-hmm. And that I was able to get the opportunity first and foremost. And then I think it's been a good learning experience for the past year. I love MLS. I've watched the league since 96. I was a fan of it when I was a kid. I was lucky to play for as long as I did and happy that I got to play as long as I did. And now I still get to be part of the league. So I just consider myself pretty lucky.
Hey, Sash, let me jump in. That's interesting you say that because, remember the MLS Cup that you took the mic around and you were like going up to the players and stuff? Were you still playing at that point in time?
No, that was last year at the All-Star game.
The All-Star game. That's what I meant. You were retired?
No, I was retired. I was already full-time in the gig. That moment, honestly, that you've brought up is probably my favorite moment of last season. I had so much fun, like just being on the field again and like talking to the guys. It's like the All-Star game. It's supposed to be fun. I thought that was super cool.
It was cool. And so like, my question to you is like, do you have any say in like where you want this new career to go? Because I thought you had, I liked it because you were just removed and the players are still responding to you and you go to them, you have that relatability. And I thought that was pretty cool. Have you guys talked about you doing any more stuff like that than just being in a studio?
We've tried to push our bosses and our producers to do more stuff like that because you're right that sometimes people go to interview players and they have their guard up when they don't know them. But it's like, All right, me and Brad just stopped playing a few years ago. We have relationships with a lot of these guys. Yep. At least maybe they might still respect us as players or remember us as players. So they're like, All right, you're cool. So yes, we've tried to push to do a little bit more like that. But we're also, everything got put together so quickly with MLS and Apple TV that I think we're all kind of just like trying to make the most of what we have one step in front of us right now. But I hope to do more stuff like that in the future where I get to talk to players and try to get them to open up or show us the real them, you know?
Sash, it's different though, isn't it? I mean, once you're not a player, you're not a player. And even if you're standing on the field and you've stood on the field 700 times or however many games you've played, getting that connection with a player, it's still also kind of feels forced a little bit because you have to ask questions and you have to probe a little bit and you're not trusted. Like as much as you're a player, you're sitting on Apple TV in the studio every single week.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I've experienced that. Sometimes I will text some friends around the league during the week to just be like, hey, I heard you might be injured or, you know, I have to like follow up the text to be like, I'm just asking as a friend right now. I'm not asking for scoop. because they won't respond right away. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to be the guy that breaks news on Twitter or breaks the scoop, nothing. I'm like, if I'm texting you, it's mostly as a friend to see how you're doing. And then maybe a little bit of background information so that I can talk about on the show what might be actually happening at the club. I'm never trying to get a scoop on anybody, but I've had to actually send text messages and be like, hey man, just as a friend here, how you doing?
You do have to clarify.
What's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville, and all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com. Yeah.
So clarify for us, because I think if you're not the scoop guy, and I don't know who is necessarily the scoop guy, maybe that's Taylor's job now at this point, or he's, you know, the guy that wants to break the news. Now that you've been in it for a year, do you think about who you ultimately want to be? Like, what is your personality that you want on the television screen?
Well, I think what I always wanted to be was the guy that can try to explain the game so that the people who really love and understand soccer, they don't feel like I'm dumbing it down too much for them, but that I'm also dumbing it down a little bit for the other 50% that don't really know soccer. So I want to show... Yeah, my expertise, that what I know about the game, tactically, technically, what I'm seeing, analyzing the game in a real way for that 50-50, right? People that know the game and people that don't know the game.
Sure.
I don't want to be the hot take guy, but I've also learned that in the business, we've got a great new executive producer this season who the first thing he told me was, listen, an analyst without opinions is usually out of a job. It's like a striker who doesn't score goals is usually out of a job. So... you can't just be on the TV and be wishy-washy, and you can't have, you got to have some takes as well. And I got burned earlier this season because I thought the Galaxy had a tough start to the season when I looked at their schedule, and I've seen the players and the way that they've done. And I've been in that locker room with some of those guys. And so I said, I think they're going to have a really tough start to the season, and I'm not sure it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for me, this was like 2 days before they signed Joseph Paintsill, who has looked like an MVP caliber player. Right. And a lot of the other players are really stepping up. So now all the Galaxy fans hate me because I picked them not to make the playoffs. I'm like, well, I got a job to do.
What am I going
to
do?
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. And when you're wrong, you have to wear it and just accept it and take the shit that comes with it.
Sash, I feel like our Red Bull connection is locked in right now because you're essentially reading what I was going to follow up with. Because I want to know, like, you don't want to be the hot take guy, but you're an honest guy. You always have been. I think you always will be. And your opinion on the Galaxy was echoed by many of people in this podcast, specifically all three of us.
No, it actually wasn't Gordo. Gordo picked him to win the West because he's an idiot.
And he did no information.
Yeah, dude. And he did no research.
See, Sash, this is why it's good to have someone who's very uninformed that is helping us with the pod and doing the pod with us. So he does these like crazy things that people can talk about.
He filled out his March Madness bracket without watching any college basketball.
He probably won.
And then he went and won the pod. Yeah.
Hey, so, you either got it or you don't, man. That's it.
My thing for you was kind of along the same lines of, you know, analyzing players and analyzing games. You're fresh at this. You're new at this. You've played with a bunch of guys that are still playing, myself included. And so, you know, when you're analyzing a Nashville game and not, you know, last year, because I was on fire and I was playing fantastically well, so you couldn't crush me. But let's say that someone on the Galaxy, you're analyzing a Galaxy game and they get smashed and, you know, you see something very clear about a guy that you used to play with, made a crazy mistake, just had a horrible game. Maybe Greg Vanney made a terrible tactical decision for a sub. Like, have you experienced yet in your young media career having to go in and be very critical of people that you have a relationship with or are friends with that, you know, maybe you could say to yourself, well, I really hope this guy doesn't take it personally because I'm just trying to do my job here. Have you experienced anything like that? Have you been down that road yet?
Yeah, definitely. I would say first and foremost, in my first season, I would probably, so last season, probably not criticize as much until, and now that I'm a year and a half out of playing, I'm like, dude, I don't owe these guys anything anymore. I have a job to do here where if someone right. is not playing well enough, I have to call it out. And so, yeah, it's mostly with the Galaxy because that was my last team. And last season, they weren't good enough. And Ricky Pooch, for example, came out at the beginning of last season, said, I want to be an MVP player in this league. Well, if you're setting that standard for yourself, I'm going to have to call it out if you're not living up to that standard. And mm-hmm. there were some games last season where he wasn't. I think this year he's been very good. But I know, and I've seen on Twitter, and then I've got friends on the team still who text me and are like, ooh, the boys in the locker room are not happy with you. He's like, I'm not going to tell you who sent this, but they were calling you a rat in the group chat.
Oh. dude.
And I'm like, dude, fair enough, but at least you guys are talking about it. And now you got a chip on your shoulder because you guys want to come at me. Like, you finished in 14th place last season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to do better than that facts, this season.
Facts are facts, dude. And I do see you are a lot more active on social media these days. Is that a little mandate, or is that more just like, hey, I'm an analyst now. I want to put my opinions out there.
Yeah, no mandate at all from anyone at MLS, although we do have social media people that work in the office that we talk to sometimes, and they try to help us out with like engagement and what works. And yeah, I mean, I think that's an important part of the job too. I don't want to be the guy who puts my opinion on everything on social media, but when it has to do with the league and it has to do with my job, then I try to do it. I do want to say through all of this, I also like try to be the guy that just pumps up players or teams when they're doing well, that we should celebrate, whether it's a young player or an old player or anybody or any team, depending on who they are, whatever team it is, if they're playing well, I want to give them their applause, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's ideal, Sash. I mean, I think we've all been players. Critical feedback is part of the game, right? And I think that we've also all listened to pundits and probably formed opinions on those pundits for the way that they deliver that critical feedback. Part of it is, can you be honest with your assessment without tearing guys apart? And there's a difference between the two. And I'm sure that we could name names that we don't need to do that. But that was also how I informed, you know, who I wanted to be as a broadcaster, as an analyst, in being honest with the feedback that I was able to give, but also still being critical when you see things, because you have to have an opinion. So I'm going to ask you the tough question, because I think it needs, I would be very interested to hear your opinion. You're talking about being in the office, and you've been there now for a year and a half, and Apple came in as, you know, I think touting, and MLS as well, touting, you know, a new transformational experience, right? Transformational coverage. My opinion is that it hasn't quite hit on that yet. It hasn't taken the step to be transformational. And I don't, you know, I think that obviously you said it's a work in progress, right? And that's to be expected. Where do you see this trending? And if there are things that you feel like need to be improved upon, or even just opportunities to elevate your guys' coverage, where do you see them in the short term?
I think having, we're only been in for a year and whatever, eight games now, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I do think that there are still big steps that we can take. And this coming from what I think, but also just talking to fans and also talking to players around the league. Something that's really special about what Apple TV has done is that now you can watch the game from anywhere in the world. So especially for foreign players, it's for foreign players who like, their parents would have to find an illegal stream to watch the game, or their friends or their family from that country to be able to just watch the game on Apple TV, I think is awesome. And I think the players love that. And not only for foreign players, like for us, like if we were in the locker room before a game and one game was on Fox and one game was on ESPN, or it was on ESPN Plus, it was always just annoying to find. So at least you know where every game is every weekend. I think we have started our new show called This Is MLS, which is on comes out on Thursday mornings, where we preview pretty much all the games for the weekend. I wish that we had more things like that, where There were good debates about the hot topics in the league, about the best players in the teams that aren't doing well. It's a 1 hour show. And I think we could have more of that where, look, we are MLS and we are Apple TV. We should have the freedom to put out, I think, more content. And I think the content is getting there. So that's where I think we're at with that. For the production of the games, I think the 1080p cameras and all that, and like what it looks like on TV, I think that part is awesome. And I think the commentators that they've hired to do most of the games are very good as well. But I still think, we could be putting out more content, which I hope we will.
No, that's spot on. I think from my vantage point and some of the stuff that we've talked about, Major League Soccer is an interesting position because the perception is that they want to control the narrative and they want to be the microphone, right? And there's also, as we know, there's not a ton of microphones out there that everyone is talking about. So they're in a little bit of a seating on both sides of the fence, right? Where they're controlling the narrative, but they're also the only ones that are talking about it in a lot of ways. Do you see that changing? Do you see Major League Soccer, like, are the conversations in the office opening up a little bit, as in like, hey, it's okay to be critical of MLS. It's okay to be critical of the clubs. We don't need to necessarily stick to the script because the content is the content, right? Like I'm a big believer in all news is good news. So whatever you're putting out there, if people are consuming it and talking about it, to your point earlier, if the locker room's talking about it, that's a good start.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, I think this is from a broad point of view. I think this is the first time that a league is actually producing all of its shows and games, right? Like, so the NBA doesn't do that. The NFL doesn't do that. Those are all on Fox and CBS and all the other networks. So Apple and MLS are working together to produce these games, which is very unique. And so, yes, there is the part where as employees of MLS, that we're not trashing everything that we do. But I also got to say that when I'm in pre-production meetings on Saturday before the games happen or before the countdown show, where we have a 1 hour preview of all the things, and there is something that I'm passionate that I want to talk about, they give me full range to talk about that. They don't stop me from making a point. An example this past weekend was Reynoso. This guy hasn't shown up. And I was like, this guy's got to go. He's not there for his team. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to show up for his teammates. And I was passionate about it. I got to have a little rant on this, and they're supportive. So that's good. I think as time goes on, we will get to a better place where we have the ability to literally talk about anything and produce more content. Like I said,
What is it going to take for that to happen? Is it your this executive producer that's come in? Is this a guy that's going to push that forward, or is this a guy that's more going to protect his job and do what the MLS says? I've heard little. I know. We all know guys within the game, right? And so there's been little rumblings about, kind of being guided on what to say on some of these platforms. I mean, you and what I hear from you is complete opposite. Is that true? And it's a dumb question because it's your job, right? And so you're how honest can you really be? But you know, if you can find a way to kind of answer that, what's it going to take, I guess?
Well, I think the big thing when we brought in the new executive producer, his name's Ignacio Garcia. He came from ESPN. And this was also a big thing for me coming out of last season, was that we had people working behind the scenes that didn't think MLS was one of the best leagues in the world. And if you're going to be working on our project, the belief has to be is that we are making this, everything that we do, we can't control the product on the field. But what we can control is making MLS look like it's one of the best leagues in the world, and that it should be considered eventually one day one of the best leagues in the world. And so now I think this season we have everybody on board with that we have to make it look like MLS is one of the best leagues in the world. And I think that we're all on the same page now. That's what's going to continue to get better as the years roll on. Yeah. For me personally, like I said, I've been in all these meetings. It's every Saturday. We meet during the week, but then we meet again on Saturday and we talk about topics that are going to come up. And I've never been told by anybody like, you can't say that. So that part for me has always been good. And that's important because I think I need to have the ability to express my true feelings, even if it doesn't make MLS look the best in the moment.
My man, Kevin Egan isn't censoring you.
Kevin is the best, dude. You worked with Kevin.
I absolutely love Kev.
Me too.
His passion for the game is unrivaled.
His passion for everything, which
it's a good point.
When you're on a show for 5 hours straight and the energy starts to drop at hour three, the way this guy, like he's acting as if he's seen a goal for the first time in his life, and it's the best thing he's ever seen.
He's acting like as if he's seen anything for the first time. He's like, Sash, have you seen this paperclip? This is the most incredible paperclip I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. The guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. So he's been a great hire for us also. Just the way that he works and the way he goes about himself, like from a culture standpoint, like in our studio, he's helped so much.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending, and those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Bikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com.
Sash, I got to say that it's good to hear that you have full autonomy to kind of be yourself and analyze games and players how you want. I think that's important in the growth of the media coverage of MLS, the league that we all love. And honestly, I think we're not at the point we were at 20 years ago where, you know, MLS supporter groups were 22 people that, you know, met at a pub before the game and they didn't know all the players' names. And, you know, they were kind of like, well, what's offside? And you know what I mean? Like, it was just very new in terms of people that consume the league. And now we're at a point where I feel that soccer is so prevalent in our everyday lives, not just MLS, but everything, right? Premier League, Bundesliga, like literally everything. So I feel like the soccer fan now in the US is way more educated than they used to be. Right. And so for me, it's like, if you're going to put yourself out there, you need to be authentic and you need to make sure that people aren't like, I see right through this guy. Like he's just talking nonsense, right? For the sake of it. And so, look, that was just me saying that's a good thing to hear that you can be yourself. I will say though, on the topic of social media, my journeymen don't even know I'm bringing this up right now, but I saw something and it was before our game against, speaking of social media, it was before our game against Philly, obviously good game. We just tied 2-2. I'm catching a stray here from your compatriot, Mr. Twelman, and he doesn't even have the stones to tag me in it on Twitter.
What did he say?
And we've been through this topic a million times with the journeyman here, and I've said my piece about the Leo Messi jersey saga. But Twelman, he doesn't need to throw a stray at me. And I'll read the tweet because you respond to it. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. And I do want your opinion on this. And I want you to give us a little more context and nuance because I have more I want to say about it now that I caught a stray from Mr. Twelman. Alan Pulido posted a picture after the game with his Messi jersey. And Mr. Twelman gets on the interwebs and goes, I will never understand this in competition, why posing for a pick, et cetera. Maybe I'm old school or a curmudgeon, but you lost the game. We've seen players ask for autographs on the field after losing a game, which is absolutely insane, by the way. If that actually happened, asking for an autograph on the field is out of control. We've seen players post after losing a cup final. I think that's a stray directed right at my head. Boom. Take 100%. It. He goes, I think it's me that's the issue. So your response, Sash, was, the new generation is different, or Messi is just one of a kind and normal behavior gets thrown out the window for him. Now, I'd like to know if you want to go into a little more detail on what you mean by that, because Messi mania has been absolutely out of control. And I have a response for Taylor's, you know, tweet where he's he's directing a bullet right at my heart. But anyways, I'm curious if you fully agree with him or if you were like, no, I disagree with him, and what your opinion on people trading with Messi is and posting pictures about it.
I would say I'm probably 80-20, 80% agreeing with Taylor.
Okay.
I've seen all last season. I saw in the US Open Cup semifinal, team gets knocked out, FC Cincinnati.
Right.
Player getting an autograph on the field.
Which is insane. I agree with that.
I would have never done this in my career. I played against some of the best of all time. And I don't mind swapping jerseys. Like, I swapped jerseys with players. Dude, totally cool.
Okay.
And I think the shot he's taken at you is after the League's Cup final, you posted a photo a few hours after the game with his jersey.
Yes.
Gotta say, Dax, I also was like, that doesn't seem like Dax to me. Like, you're the ultimate competitor too.
Right.
So and then also, like, I've seen other players on Instagram. They'll play a game against Inter Miami. They'll lose.
Right.
And then, like, a few hours after the game, they'll get some of the professional photographs from the team photographer of them, like, battling with Messi.
Right.
It was an honor to play against this guy. Dude, that's cool, but wait 3 days for me. Like,
it's a timing thing?
It's a timing thing for me to be like, all right, you lost the game, dude. You lost the game. That should be what matters, not the fact that you got to play against Messi. So,
is let me ask you, Sash, is Messi the greatest player of all time, in your opinion? Yes.
Yes.
So here's where I stand.
That's why I threw in normal rules go out the window because you're playing with, like, the GOAT.
So here's where I stand with this, and not to open up this whole can of worms again, because we've already closed this chapter, but because I'm catching strays, I feel I need to address it again for Mr. Twelman here.
It was embarrassing, Dax. In general,
I agree with what you said, but for me, the only regret I had about posting the picture was the caption. The caption, I think, was in poor taste. I think it should have been done probably in, like, a little bit more of an understated way. Just like, listen, for me, I'm very self-aware. All right. I've played in MLS my whole career. I've always thought I was a decent player. I'm never going to have the opportunity to go be Sergio Ramos and play against Messi 20 times in La Liga, in Champions League finals, in massive Clásicos, right? Messi is the greatest player that's ever lived, in my opinion. I didn't know if I was going to play this year. I didn't know if last year was my last year, not my last year, whatever. I'm just as big of a fan of the sport of soccer as the next guy. And to be able to share the field with Messi, that's different for me, right? And look, I've traded jerseys throughout my whole career, right? When I got traded from Red Bull to Chicago, I was trading with Ryan Mira, Connor, BWP, all the boys, right? And of course, they're your boys. You know them a little better. You're probably not posting pictures of it, right? And so in general, I think you guys are right that it's probably a little too soon. And yeah, was I upset that we lost the cup final? Devastated, like pissed. But again, for me, it was like, you know what? I just played pretty well. So I think context matters. Thought we had a great performance as a team. Seriously, we voted 10 rounds of penalties.
Context matters. Yeah, you lost a cup final. That's the context right there. Right.
Hey, captains don't talk.
But again, why? Like,
performance.
For me, it's like, I do think, okay, whether you played great or bad, I think that matters. I think whether it was whether you got blown out of the water or whether you maybe arguably could have won the game, you lost the game. No question about it. That's why I say the caption was in poor taste. Pulido, who knows? How many regular season games has Pulido played in his career, right? He just played in front of 70,000 people in Kansas City. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he played well, maybe he didn't. I didn't see the whole game. But like, to me, it's like you get once-in-a-lifetime chance to play against the greatest player that's ever lived. What's the whole point of social media, right? And I think that's the whole, maybe the argument is like, we all have social media. It's all a vanity project anyways. Why are you posting on social media pictures of your kids? Who gives a shit about your kids, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. Look at my kids, right? Like, hey, look at, why are you posting? Why do people post videos of goals that they've scored? Hey, look at this goal I scored back in the day, right? Like, for me, it's social media. If you're going to be on it, it is what it is. It's like, hey, look what I've done. How great is it? So while I agree a little bit, Taylor, just at me next time, brother. Like, it's fine. I can take it. I understand. And I do agree. Like, autographs on the field is too much for me. Trading jerseys and posting a picture, playing against, for me, the greatest player that's ever lived and the greatest player that I've ever seen play. I'm okay with it. I think guys,
Dax, can we get this response on Twitter and direct it directly at Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh no, no. We'll get this video and we'll tag him when this 100%. Comes out. 100%.
I mean, I love it. I'm off. And look, Taylor, I think I haven't gone through all the responses. I think it's probably 50-50. There's probably 50% of people that are like, yeah, trade jerseys with the greatest player that's ever lived. Like, go for it. And there's other people that are like, no, don't
Sash,
do it.
Who did you, Sash?
But you don't think so, Gordo?
No.
Did you trade jerseys?
I like your justification of this whole thing, but I mean, I just, you know, I don't think you can justify it. You know, like it's,
how so? Speak. Don't just say that. Give me some information, buddy. Use your words.
I think it's gonna be 80-20, just like Sash said. 80% are gonna be like, Dax, you missed that one. And you even said the caption was
awful. I should have not had that caption, but I don't really regret posting the picture.
Well, that's all that matters, Dax. You're the only one that has
to live in your convictions, right? Baby.
That's strong right. Opinions, Dax. You're going to be a good analyst one day, bro.
So, Sash, you're still playing, right? What's the deal? I know you're. I thought that you had hung up the boots professionally, and then sure enough, here comes Sasha Kleshchen and AJ De La Garza playing with the Des Moines Menace in an Open Cup.
Roger Espinoza.
Espinoza, easy question. Did you sign a contract? Did you get paid to do this?
No, this was the Des Moines Menace is technically an amateur team. So We actually all had to sign paperwork to say that we were no longer professional soccer players and we were now amateurs again.
Okay.
But let me just go back real quick on. So I played against Messi, I think, 4 times in my career.
Oh, okay.
But the last time I played against him was probably in like 2011 or 12. And so he was not the GOAT by any means back then. The GOAT for me my whole life was Zidane. Until I think about a year and a half ago is when I was like, okay, it's Messi. And so we had a Super Classico game one time. I think you guys might have been on Galaxy and I was on Chivas, and Zidane was at the game because he was friends with Beckham. Uh-huh. And I saw him up in the suite, like right at the half line before the game. And I had heard he was going to be at the game. And I played like shit, dude. It was like the worst game of one of the worst games of my career. And I was devastated because I was like, I got to like, so Dax, what I'm trying to say is I respect you, bro. You played against the GOAT and you played a good game. I was at the game. I covered the game. That's awesome, dude. I played in front of my GOAT and I played like shit. So
I played. Did you ever play against Zidane? I played against Zidane in 2005. And wow. He played against us like we were on a high school soccer team, and he was the GOAT. He was doing pirouettes around us. And it was the first time in my life that I was like, because I hadn't watched a bunch of soccer like you headed up to it. And I was like,
and you still don't.
What? Yeah, I don't. And
he was playing a different sport, bro.
I was like, what is that? Yeah. Like, that's a real player, dude. And yeah, he's impressive.
Did you get a chance to meet him, Sash, after the game?
No, I was too embarrassed to even come out of the locker room and like get a picture or anything. I was honestly gutted to my core because like I talked about this the other night when the Kansas City game against Messi and Inter Miami, 73,000.
Yeah. Yep.
I played in a few games like that in my career where I was like, all right, I know most of you people are coming here to watch Messi or Neymar or whoever.
Right.
But by the end of the game, you're going to know who I am too. Like, you're going to be like, oh, who's that guy with the weird mustache? He was pretty fucking good, you know? And so like, that was my chance to have Zidane be like, who's that young kid with the weird hair? and absolutely not. He watched the game and was probably like, there's no recollection in his head of whoever that player was. So that was devastating for me.
Sash, if you played against Zidane and played well, you would have had his jersey. You would have been going to bed with it at night. You would have been sleeping with it under your pillow like I do with Messi. Just kidding. Relax, guys. So Open Cup, Sash. I want to know.
Open Cup.
Yeah. Okay. So you didn't get paid. They're an amateur team. How? Yeah. I mean, I know you kind of talked a little bit about how it all came about, but I think this just shows your true love for the game. And I know you think you can still do it at a professional level, and you probably can. You played 120 minutes without literally playing in 6 months. You already talked about how sore
18 months. I hadn't played in 18 months.
How sore was the body? How'd the game go? The first game.
All right. So the first game, to make a long story short, the main reason I played in the game was because it was 20 minutes from my house here in Orange County, California. And so I recruited Brian Rowe to play in the goal.
That game. Rowe was in the Nets. What a pair he's got, huh?
Former teammate of you guys. And then Ewan Holden also played, who's Stu Holden's younger brother. It was a grind, dude. It was on a high school sports field with football lines on it. There was a lacrosse game that went to overtime, so our game got delayed. It was an absolute grind, but it was super fun because Dax, like you said, you know me. I just love the game so much. I love playing so much. And the opportunity to play in a game that mattered, like with something on the line for a lot of these other guys on the team and for me, then I had to make the winning penalty kick where I'm like, I was fucking nervous, dude.
I believe it.
Like, if I miss this penalty, like I'm a loser, dude. These guys are all counting on me. And so fortunately I buried it. It was fun. It gets the juices flowing again.
Where'd you put it? Where'd you stick it?
Bottom right.
Bottom right. That's right.
Don't watch the eyes.
Hey, don't watch the eyes, up in the hips. Hey, real quick. I'm not gonna make you reveal something that you shouldn't. Wink, wink. But I've heard rumors about you playing TST. Is this true? We won't make you tell, you know, what team you're playing for. But
breaking news:
are these rumors true? Are you going to lace up the boots again and go TST?
These rumors are true. I will be playing in TST. I guess we can wait to announce. I think it should be coming in the next few weeks. The announcement of who we're all going to be playing for and stuff like that. But yeah. I wanted to play in it last season because it looked like a great idea, but I had work that weekend and I wasn't really in a place last season to be like, hey boss, can I have the weekend off to go? I was still trying to make a name for myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't. And then I play soccer on Saturday mornings in a 7v7 league in New York City with Kyle Martino and Chris Winger and Aleko Eskandarian, some other ex-MLS guys. And when they came back from the tournament, they were like, dude, I'm not kidding. That's the most fun I've had playing soccer in my entire career. And just like the way the tournament is set up with the walk-off goal, you got to get to the target score, you get the game winner. Like it looked so awesome. So this year I'm in, I'm super pumped. I can't wait to play in that tournament.
Love that.
We got some quick hitters for you, Sasha.
Let's get you out with some quick hitters, buddy.
Let's go.
Let's actually make you earn your keep. Let's see if how the analyst has been analyzing some of these games. All right, let's start off with an easy one. How about that? Coach on the hottest seat in the league right now.
Ooh,
that's the easy one.
There's the easy one. They're getting easier from here.
That was sarcasm. That was hard.
Easy. Okay. I'd say it's gotta be Luchi Gonzalez in San Jose. One win and six losses to start the season.
Have you seen many of their games?
I mean, I see parts of every single game that happens on the weekend. It's hard to analyze entire games without sitting down and watching at least 45 minutes of them.
Have you noticed any trends with why they're struggling so bad or not really?
Well,
because I haven't been able to see much of them.
They don't have a number 10. Nico Chakiris, young player, which is going to have ups and downs, is the guy who's playing as the number 10 now that he's finally healthy. But I think he's only been in for the last two games. And I think if you just look at the quality of their starting 11, it's not at the level of the rest of the better teams in the Western Conference.
So it's
not entirely all on him, in my opinion.
Do you think this is a number 10 league? I mean, are all leagues number 10? But this is one more importantly, right?
I think MLS is probably the league in the world where if you buy a good number 10, he can carry you so far. Like,
yeah,
you look around the league, like, every good team has a good number 10.
Right.
Yeah. That's if I'm a sporting director going to spend money, go out and buy. And most of the time they're from Argentina for some odd reason.
Yeah. No kidding.
We love mining Argentina
down there, don't they?
So
I got one for you.
Yeah. Go, Dan.
I got one for you. I heard a little bit of your podcast with Dax's buddy Taylor, and your prep, on the basketball court. Who wins a 3-point contest? You or Preki?
Ooh, you know, I've never seen Preki play basketball, and I've heard he's good, but I'm fairly positive it would be him because I'm not a 3-point shooter. Like I'll put up maybe one or two threes a game. I'm a mid-range guy and I'm an assist and a rebound guy. So I'll give it to Preki.
So please. You're playing in the three, in the two, or the one?
Yeah, I'm like, we have a point guard on our team, but when he doesn't show up, I have to run the point just because I can play for 40 minutes straight and I can make some passes. But I'm a do everything, bro. I'm like the poorest, absolute poorest version of Nikola Jokic. Like that's who I dream of being, you know? But like, I'm a soccer player playing basketball who was a number 10. So it's like, I get the ball and I'm like, all right, you go there, throw it that way.
Yeah.
I love a good assist more than I do making a 3-pointer. So
just like you did playing professionally. Sash, I can't let you get out of here now that Dan brought up Preki without you giving us your best Preki impression.
Oh no,
please.
I stopped my impressions a long time ago.
Come on, dude. We do more Bruce impressions on this podcast than any other.
It is so good. Please.
No, I got love for Preki, bro. This guy. I can't do that.
I love Preki too. I love Preki.
We'll do it. We'll let the boys hear it post pod. All right. Three more quick hitters and we'll try to actually make them quick. Team that surprised you the most in a good way this year.
I could name a few. LA Galaxy, New York Red Bulls.
Okay. Why? Red Bulls?
Red Bulls have been fantastic, dude. They have. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if they won the supporter shield. Like,
wow.
I think that they've always had the defensive structure. They had it last season. They just had nobody who could score. They had nobody who could create. Now you've got Lewis Morgan and Dante Van Zier both playing pretty well. Frankie Amaya playing really well. And then I don't think we've seen the best of Emil Forsberg yet, who is the number 10, the attacking midfielder guy.
What do you make of Forsberg and his family situation in, you know, all over the newspapers?
I analyze what he does on the field, not off the field.
Don't you think that affects his play on the field?
It could be. That's it's a crazy story. I'll say that.
We did speak in a pod, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about Lewis Morgan being almost like a new signing for them because of how much he missed last year and how fantastic he's been for them. So I like that pick. Golden Boot race wide open right now. You picked, if I'm not mistaken, before the season, my boy GG Giakoumakis. He's on 5 goals. Messi's on 5 goals. Lewis Morgan, Chicho Arango, Luis Suarez, your boy Jovalic, and Christian Benteke all on 6. Are you going to revisit your pick or are you sticking with my boy GG?
I'll stick with Giakoumakis. Of course, this was my bold opinion going into the season that he would score 30 goals this season. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm sticking with it. I think Giakoumakis is number one. If I had to look at the rest of the guys on those lists right now, I think Dejan Jovalic has probably the best opportunity because he has the best group of players around him to set up chances, and he just puts himself in the right spot at the right time. And Chicho Arango, because he's the other guy that he's got some pretty good players around him, and he can put the ball in the back of the net.
Sash, we missed on a couple of our takes early on in the season. What is your favorite of this year as a pundit to look back on in the beginning of the year? Now that we've had 7 or 8 games or what, you know, enough of a sample size to be like, man, that was a huge air ball for me.
Oh, easy. I said Luis Suarez was going to struggle and didn't look like, I mean, what was I thinking? I got fooled when I watched some of these games when they went to Saudi Arabia and played. This guy's limping around the field. I'm like, dude, he's past it.
To be fair, he's still limping around the field. He's just putting in buckets of goals.
I know exactly the play in the game you're talking about when he was playing. Was it Ronaldo's team? And he was like making a sprint down the sideline. And me and Giakoumakis were watching the game on our phones, eating lunch. And we both looked at each other like,
I was like,
this guy's not going to survive three games.
You see his face too. He looks like he's in pain. And like, I actually went to the first game of the season here in LA because they played against the Galaxy on a Sunday. So I took my family and I mean, I watched him in person. I'm basically watching him and Messi the whole game. And after he got subbed out, he was pissed off. He didn't do anything. I was like, oh, I'm good. And then he's just every game after that, goal, assist, goal, assist, goal, assist. So I big whiff by me on that one.
All right, Sash, finish us out here with MLS Cup champion this season.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Come on. At home for the rest of the year and play up a man, you might have a shot. Otherwise, who's the real favorite?
Columbus Crew. They're the best team, in my opinion.
It's a safe bet. Dax loves Columbus.
I took him to win CCC.
I initially picked Atlanta to win the Supporter Shield this year. And then when it came down to it, like I did a thing for social media on MLS and I picked Atlanta. And then like 5 days later, I changed it to Orlando, which isn't looking that great either. But Atlanta needs to find a way to win some games on the road.
Yeah, that's...
Can't disagree with you on that, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, man. Brilliant, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. That was fun.